Good morning, church. And good morning to those out on Facebook with us virtually this morning. God's blessings to you all. Let's look over our announcements. Just a reminder that we are trying to wear masks in the building, especially when we are closer than 6 feet together, just as we continue to show courtesy and caution to one another. And if we're up here, we'll take them off so you can see our face, because we're far enough away. Wednesday night prayer meeting. If you can make it, get on. It's Zoom. There's a link on the galescreekchurch.com website, as well as it usually gets posted in the GroupMe chat if you're part of the prayer chain. And if you need to be part of the prayer chain, let me know. Get you hooked up. Let's see. Wednesday, 11 to noon, is gleaning, so the food pantry is open during that time. So if you know somebody who needs food or could benefit from having some extra nourishment, please make sure that you let them know and come out and be part of the help. Now also, it's open noon to 1 on Sundays as well, following church service. So if you know somebody who needs help, have them come in. If you can't make any of those times, let Sherry know. Let me know. Let Pastor Teresa know. Well, let Sherry know. If you don't know who Sherry is and how to get a hold of her right away. March 13th, Simple Potluck, Season 2, Episodes 1 and 2 will be shown. If you missed season one and want to get caught up or want to start it again, let Debbie Delamarter know, and Debbie will get you connected. And Debbie, I owe you a season of DVDs you could loan to someone, because I got through season one. Spoiler alert, when Philip leaves John and comes and joins Jesus in season two, boy, does it start getting fun. So you need to be watching The Chosen. I endorse, as if I'm anything to endorse, but it's hit me so much that I'm sitting at work after school, all the kids are gone, and what's playing on my second computer screen? The Chosen. So I'm there, listening to it, watching it as I'm trying to do paperwork. So, yeah. So definitely I recommend. Let's see, any other announcements, or are we all caught up there? Yeah, there were technical difficulties with episodes 1 and 2 last week, so, yeah. There's Philip on the left side of your screen there, the new character coming in. He's like a pleasant chaos introduction device. It's awesome. Yep. All right, let's have our invocation, and we will pray together and welcome the Holy Spirit in our Father, Lord, thank you for this house of worship. Thank you for those that are here in person. Thank you for those who cannot and are with us virtually. In your Holy Spirit, we are all one. So let us worship together today in spirit and truth, and let us be unified in who you are in each one of us. Amen. All right. Normally the worship team would lead worship, but they weren't able to do it because they were called to worship. Oop, back up. Oop, sorry, kind of new to this. All right. Let's say our call to worship together. Proverbs 11:25. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Amen. All right. Let's go to worship. And like I said, the worship team normally leads, but they're gone. So Susie was going to lead, but Susie's really not feeling very well. So we need to lift her up in prayer. So I'm now Susie. So, AKA Ivan. But let's have some fun. Let's worship. This is about making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And we don't even care what the noise sounds like. We care that we make it. So let us together go for the Lord, again, worshiping in spirit and truth, and let's sing together. Just a closer walk, just a closer walk, just a closer walk, just a closer walk. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied and alone as I
walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closest walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closest walk with me. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is old, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, set thee on to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closest walk with me. Jesus is my peace. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I don't know about you guys, but I sing it when my kids are going to sleep sometimes.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love. He lived. To buy my pardon, an empty grave set my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. How sweet you hold a newborn baby, and feel the and joy brings, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he did all fear is gone because I know he holds a future and I think it's worth the living just because he lives and then one day I'll cross the river. I'll find life's fine with me and with death gives way to victory. I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives because we live. I pray tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds a future and life is worth the living just because he lives. Life is worth living just because he
when my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. Let me stand, I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me home to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the shadows appear and the night draweth near, and the day is past and gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Gotta wait 30 seconds till I'm supposed to be up here.
No, I'm just kidding. Let's take our tithes and our offerings together. And I think, where's Ryan? Or, I mean, Jeremy. Cousin. Anyway. Okay, well, I guess I'll do it. Claire, would you like to come help me? No? You want to help, sweetie? All right. Well, let's thank God for what He has given us so freely. Lord, thank You for the many blessings You give us, family, friend, church, work, children, spouses, jobs, finances. And You only ask us to give back one of those things, and that's finances. The rest, give them. Keep giving for eternity. So, Lord, thank You for the many blessings You have given. Thank You for all of those things. And thank You for the money we need to just facilitate this world. In Your name we pray. Amen. Now we come to my favorite part of the worship service, where we get to share our blessings and our needs with each other. And just remember, there are some communication cards in the back if you want to silently lift up a prayer request, but have it on the prayer chain for everybody. But you don't feel like you want to share it here now, that's okay too. So you can pick up one of those in the back if you want, fill that out, hand it off to me or to Pastor Teresa, and we'll make sure it gets to the right place. Many, many are our needs and our sorrows, but also our praises today. I still lift up Carol Baker with Paul's passing, and Andrea as well, that God would encourage their hearts, right? Give them peace that passes understanding through this season of grief. But I know this. Tuesday I got a chance to go see Carol and receive the blessing of a whole bunch of Jell-O and some Jell-O pudding. And that's not even the greatest gift I've ever gotten from Paul's life. I'm telling you, his testimonies were a gift every time. But it was great to see Carol and the light in her eyes and the joy in her voice when she could say she knew where Paul was, where he will be, and where she's going to go and join him again. That is our hope. Amen. That is our hope. Right there. And in all the years that I've had an opportunity to have a leadership role in here, I was ministered to by Carol Baker. Seeing her hope. And knowing that it's true. So praise that Paul has gone on, no longer in pain, and has met his Heavenly Father and has earned his reward. And prayers for all of us that still sojourn along this road, although it be in eternity already, because I know God is in my heart and I know I'm going, right? But just part of this side of eternity. Anybody else have a prayer or prayer request they would like to lift up? Yes, Sherry. Absolutely. So prayers for a successful saving dental surgery tomorrow, correct, Sherry? So that your tooth is able to be saved. And for your safe travels Friday, or are you going down Thursday? Friday to Sacramento to help clean up your mom's house. Yep. And prayers for the time you have with your siblings to be healing and loving. And I just ask the Holy Spirit beam through your face to them, friend. Show lots of love. Anybody else? Continuing to lift up Ted. Are there any updates on his status? Still waiting for the endoscopy with biopsy, right? So, Ted, we love you. Hopefully you're out there on the virtual world or get a chance to watch this later. We love you, brother. We're still praying for you. We know that you lost your best friend a little while ago. But did you know we're all your best friend, too? We love you, brother. Anybody else want to lift up a prayer need or praise? Yep, we are missing a lot of the ladies in the church for the ladies' retreat, so God grant them safe travels and good godly fellowship that is refreshing to their soul. Absolutely. Yes, and for the men's retreat coming up, Lord pave the way for amazing things to happen at that retreat. Yep. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Those of you out there who've been parents and understand this, Teresa is lifting up a praise to God that her son is able to get some steady employment on a couple tours and not have to be supported by mom so much. As parents, it's our job to work ourselves out of a job. I want to continue to pray for all the healthcare workers out there. Continue to pray for all of us in the teaching profession. Lift up those that are peacefully protesting everywhere. We ask that their message be heard, that their hearts be listened to, and that hearts of those who need to listen can hear the message clearly, and peace prevail. Yep. prayer for conflicts in the world right now, yes, Russian-Ukrainian border. Prayer for all of the world leaders involved in that whole quagmire. Lord, work on the hearts of all the world leaders. Work on the hearts of our leaders. Yeah. That was Teresa. Teresa mentioned that. Yeah. I'm not afraid to give, credit where it's due. We know where all the credit is due. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go together in prayer. Father, Lord, this is kind of a quieter Sunday, Lord. The women are gone at their retreat. We ask you that you bless them, refresh them, restore in them a right relationship with you and renew it. And Lord, give them vision for what you have here to happen at your church. Lord, give them a shared vision that you give all of us. Lord, begin to work in our hearts and bring that to us so that we may be of one voice and one thought and one heart and one mind in you, Holy Spirit. Unify your church. But do it in the most amazing way. Each one of our hearts individually, so we will be astounded when we come together. Lord, we lift up Carol and Andrea with Paul's absence, and Ted waiting to have another test. Lord, we ask you to strengthen Debbie's heart for another day, another moment, another week, another month, however long she needs. She cries out to you. We see it. We know it. We trust you for her. And we trust you for Ted. Give wisdom to his doctor that is asking for this test. And Lord, let a clear prognosis be found. Lord, we lift up our world leaders. We lift up the world stage right now to you. Though the nations may rage, we know who is truly in charge in a spiritual kingdom that exceeds the kingdoms of men. And as they rage and as they try to be strong in the eyes of men, Lord, we know that our real strength comes from you and that your eyes watch over us. So, Lord, look over us, watch over us, protect us while the nations rage. Lord, be with the minds and hearts of all the world leaders. Holy Spirit, knock on the doors of their hearts and help them find the peace that brings prosperity to God's children, whether they know him yet or not. Over this whole earth you have created. And Lord, we lift up Sherry with a tooth surgery coming up, Lord, that her tooth may be saved and then that the pain may not be prolonged and she can quickly and safely travel to Sacramento to be with family for needs there. And Lord, we ask right now that you pave the way in the hearts of her siblings for it to be a sweet, sweet spirit in that place. And Lord, for many other needs in the body that we haven't mentioned today, we ask that you reach down, touch bodies, touch souls, touch minds, and bring healing as only you can. Lord, we lift up those that bring that healing, those that are your hands and feet in the healthcare industry, Lord. Do not let them fatigue. Do not let them grow weary in doing good. But Lord, strengthen them to the task of continuing to do so. And Lord, for those of us in education, Lord, keep us strong to the task every day of imparting worldly knowledge that can be combined with godly wisdom. Thank you, Lord. And finally, we lift up the leaders directly over us, city, county, state, and federal. Knock on the doors of their hearts, Lord. Let them see first and foremost character. Character. Godly character. And let them examine their hearts and see how they need to change as you change each and every one of us to look more like you. Give them all the humility to see it, see their need for it, and embrace it as you do for each of us. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, kids. Let's say a prayer for you before you get to go with Teacher Sherry today. Somebody was all excited about getting to wear her new dress today. You don't get to see your Easter dress till Easter, though. She's got a blue one for Easter, she says. Father, Lord, thank you for the blessing of children. They are the future and the hope that you have given us. Help us be faithful to raise them up in the right way, in the knowledge of the Lord, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But it will be a foundation forever they can return to and build upon to strengthen their lives. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
All right. Good morning. Praise the Lord for another day. He is good to us. Amen. Glad to see your faces. Welcome again to those of you who are listening to the sound of my voice, those who are viewing, watching us through our social media. God bless you this day. We are in the series On the Way to the Cross, and we're following Jesus as he builds his ministry and completes his mission to the cross. So last week, we saw him choose his inner circle of disciples known as the 12 apostles. And after selecting them, Jesus went on to preach a sermon on some of the experiences his disciples and his followers may experience. So today, we will listen in on one more of Christ's teachings and his expectations of his followers. So our text continues in Luke 6. We're going to read verses 27 through 38. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. And I'm going to share from the New Living Translation. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Verse 32 says, if you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much, Jesus said. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Some people will charge interest on what they let you borrow, right? So 35 says, love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Listen to that verse. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Verse 36 says, you must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. And do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Amen to the word of the Lord. That's a powerful sermon that Jesus preached. Amazing. But I don't know about you, but in my imagination, Brother Fred, if I were sitting in there listening to him say that, I know I'd have been like, wait, what? What did he just say? Love my who? My what? Huh. And then I would have turned to my friend or the person sitting next to me and I would have said, has he lost his mind? There is no way I'm going to treat people who treat me like dirt with kindness. Nope. Ain't going to happen. Yeah, there's nothing like heaping coals of fire on folks when they act out. So no doubt there were those who identified with my sentiments, and they decided to not follow Jesus. They heard those words that day and were like, yeah, now see, home slice, I was with you. I really was trying to follow you, but that right there, can't do it. They came to see him because so many others spoke of his miracle-working ability and how he was such an excellent teacher. You know, he wasn't boring like the others, and he spoke at the people's level so they could understand. In fact, some may have followed Jesus because he was the underdog. I mean, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Everybody knows that's a little hick town. He's just an everyday carpenter. That's who he was, just an everyday carpenter. And yet, he was like no other. A man from humble beginnings whose parents got together under a scandal. Oh, wait, is that the baby? Oh, yeah, he was the Immaculate Conception. Oh, right. So his mama and daddy got together beforehand and then tried to play it off. Okay, right. So that's him? Okay. Well, let's go hear what he has to say. He's a man from humble beginnings, the underdog, and that's why he became the local hero. He represents to the rest of the average Joes out there, working to provide for their families and trying to be good citizens and upstanding community members. That's all people want to do, and they saw that in Jesus. His other sermons were different. But this one on something so ridiculous as loving someone's enemies? The natural question, my friends, is, do I have to? Is that what it takes to be one of his followers? Well, To answer the question quite simply, Pastor Ivan, yes. You see, Jesus can't afford to have just any old body claiming to be his disciple. We can all say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sunday. Okay, well, that don't make you a Christian just because you come to church on Sundays. And just because you follow Jesus around when he went preaching from town to town, that didn't make you his disciple. He's giving the distinctions of those who want to be with everybody else and those who want to truly follow him. So, if you were to become someone's disciple, that meant you adopted the mentor's characteristics and you acted like them. Indeed, you emulated them. That's what it means, Pastor Ivan, when you are someone's disciple. Emulate means to imitate that person. And what's the goal of imitating? You want to be like them because you want to match their capability. You want to be just as good as they are, or even this, Brother Bill, surpass their skill level. That's what it means to emulate. So when you call yourself a disciple, you're saying, I'm going to be like that person. I'm going to follow in their footsteps. I'm going to be like them, and I'm going to try to do better. So he says to the crowds, if you're going to be my followers, if you're going to be my disciples, this you must do. Love your enemies. So when people ask, do I have to? Jesus answered, yes. And I know it's hard. Some of us prefer the list of don'ts because it's a concrete list of what to avoid. You know that short list of the Ten Commandments. Those are pretty easy to manage. I mean, we can look for ways to work around the rules, right? Thou shalt not lie becomes more of a guideline. So we justify and we create white lies. Or, Brother Fred, sometimes we just omit certain details when people ask us questions. I'm not lying. We just don't tell all the story. Oh, so, if you can work out that commandment of not lying, we could create workarounds for the rest of the commandments. So it's real easy to follow God and follow Jesus. Just check those things off on your list and you'll be good. Jesus challenges the crowd that day. He says he expects more of those who follow him. Following him and having a relationship with God is not a mere checklist. Following Christ is reflected in all our ways of being. You know, we are human beings. So we are supposed to be like Jesus, be like God. Allow the Holy Spirit to rule in our lives. Our love for God oozes out of us and flows to the people around us if we truly love God. And so that's why Jesus chastises the listeners and says to be more than the minimum. And, I have to take you to how the passage in the Message renders it. It's just a beautiful teaching how they render Jesus' sermon. So I'll share a little bit from the Message. This is verses 27 through 30. Listen to how the Message says it. To you who are ready for the truth, I say this. Love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more payback. Live generously. Isn't that a beautiful rendering of that? Don't be focused on the payback. I don't know if you know James Brown, but he had this beautiful song called The Big Payback. And if you go and Google it, it's about getting even with folks. The big payback. But that's not how we should live. If you follow Christ, you shouldn't need to worry about trying to pay people back for all the bad things that they've done. This is a waste of energy. You know what? That would take your lifetime, actually. If you sat down and wrote down all the wrongs people did to you, man, come on. Jesus says, live generously. Give. Even when we read it from the Message, though, it may still feel like, yeah, that sounds good, but Pastor Teresa, that's still easier said than done. How in the world can we love our enemies, and why in the world do we need to? What happened to an eye for an eye? Isn't that the way of the world? That's how it was back then in biblical times. An eye for an eye. And aren't you supposed to be the Messiah who avenges us of our enemies? I'm sure they asked Jesus this. You're supposed to come and destroy them. Somebody said you were him. You were the Messiah. So I brought my baseball bat and I'm ready to bust a few kneecaps. Because you're the one who's supposed to avenge us. And then they're probably thinking, you know what? As a matter of fact, I feel like this is a bait and switch. We followed you because you're the Messiah, because you're supposed to be avenging us. And now here you are telling me I'm supposed to love my enemies and do good to them? I don't know about this, man. It sounds like you wanting us to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. I'm not into that. I brought my baseball bat. When we gonna get this party started? And Jesus is like, yeah, no, not today. That's not why I'm here, actually. I'm not here for that. I have a much bigger, much more inclusive plan. But they didn't understand. So before we pursue answers about why in the world and how in the world are we supposed to do that, allow me to ask you a question. Now, last week, we did an exercise on how to choose friends, remember? And we had a time to reflect on who in our lives portrays some of the characteristics that Coach Tony Dungy shared, right? And then we had the list of things from the educational website for high schoolers when they're choosing friends. We get to select our friends, but we don't really select our enemies, do we? I mean, it's not like, oh, I want you to be on my enemy list and you to be on my... It doesn't work that way. Bad things happen, and then people become our enemies. Enemies are an interesting subset of the people in our lives. My question is this. Who are your enemies? Who are your enemies? And then I have a follow-up question to that. Why? Why, Sister Debbie, do you have those people on your enemy list? So let me give you a moment to think about that. Maybe there's pictures flashing in your head. Oh, yeah. And maybe you don't call them enemy. Just people that you don't really care for, that you don't like. If you see them coming in, you're going to try to walk out the back door while they're coming in the front. Because, I just can't be bothered with you, right? Who are those people? Why? Just take a few moments to think about that. Why is it they're on your list? Okay, so now that you've given those people some thought, some attention to, yeah, why, what is happening and why is that relationship fractured? Keep those things in mind, but I want you also to now listen to this quote from a theological blogger, Jeremy Myers. Sister Debbie has the quote ready. You can read along with me as I read this quote from Jeremy. He's deep. I like what he has to say. Again, Jeremy, he's a theological blogger. He blogs, he teaches, goes around preaching. And so listen to what he says. Christians today are mad at the world. We're mad about movies, the media, the militant movements of gays and lesbians. We're mad about the ACLU, condoms in school, crime on the streets, drugs in our neighborhood. We're mad about education, the impact of society upon our children, and abortion activists. The world views Christianity as more of an angry political activist movement than a spiritual organization devoted to handing out hope and healing to a hurting world. Too often, when the world is hurting, our response is to say, well, serves them right. We warned them this would happen. That is a Christian man talking about how the world sees us as Christians, based on Christian people's actions. So I bring that to the forefront of our minds because I want you to think about that's a lot of how the Jews in the day when Jesus came along believed. They really thought, oh, he's going to take care of all these things and all these people that have been doing bad things in the world. Getting caught up, judging other people, because they don't live like we do. And so when it's time to be loving and compassionate and kind and helpful, we turn our backs, our righteous backs on the world. But Jesus says, if you are my follower, that can't be. I've got you to do better. Do better. Be better. I wonder if any of Jeremy's list of folks and situations ended up on your list of enemies, or maybe the people, you know, you don't necessarily care for. And you think it's your piety, your righteous holiness that justifies your distaste. There's a lot of Christians in my world and people that I've come across that have this holy righteousness about what's happening in the world. And they're forgetting why Jesus gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It is actually to show people God's love, reveal it to them, not to try to hold it from them, Brother Fred. Now you can't come to this church. We don't have space in here for people like you. What in the world are we saying? What are we doing? Help us, God, forgive us. A word of warning. Be careful lest you end up like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, they too judge the world by sacred scripture. And in doing so, they forgot the scriptures that talk about mercy, grace, and compassion. To use the words of the Master, those who have ears, let them hear. Hear what the word of God is saying. And if you hear it, then you are expected to do it and to live by it. So what do we do with our righteous anger? Aren't those people our enemies? And back to our original two questions. How in the world, and again, why in the world, do we have to love our enemies? Jesus answers those two questions. There are three things we can do when we are challenged by our enemies, by those people who just always find a way to irritate us. I mean, it's like almost like on their agenda for the day, it's like, first goal, irritate Teresa. Second goal, irritate Teresa's cube mate. Third goal, it's like, come on, y'all. But there's an answer of how to interact and how to work with them. Three things, Jesus says. They're listed in verses 27 and 28. He says, do good to them, Brother Fred. Do good. And then he says, bless them. And the third thing, pray for them. And I know that's one of my favorite things to do is to pray. And I'll do it in a minute. Sometimes, you know, I have to tell you the truth, Brother Fred. I'll be either in the store or trying to drive, you know, get somewhere, and people cut you off or they act out or in the store acting out. It's like, I will, Sister Debbie. You know, because these are just reading glasses. Put my hand on my hip. Really? This is what we're doing today? Really? Okay. I got something for you. I got something for you. And it's not the eye for an eye. It's Jesus. Now you see how they're in here in the store acting out? Get them, please. Get them. And Lord, help me to act right and don't be getting in there acting crazy with them. Pray for them. If we busy ourselves with doing good and treating people how we want to be treated, we have very little time to focus on repaying their nasty deeds with our retaliation. Focus, do good, bless them, pray for them. When we take time to pray for those who irritate us, God will do a work. And guess where he works? In our hearts. Isn't that amazing? I'm sitting up here praying, yeah, Lord, get Brother Fred. And how does he get Brother Fred? By getting me. Ain't that something? So we don't need to focus on retaliation because God is going to work it out. Pray for them. We can be so preoccupied and worried about how God needs to change those people over there and help them do better and this and that. And God simply wants to change us. He wants to change our hearts. When we pray for our enemies, the Spirit helps us to see them as God sees them. People who need salvation, people who need compassion, people who need patience and love and forgiveness, people who need empathy and grace and mercy. Seeing our enemies as God sees them answers the second question, the why we need to love our enemies. Now, the three commands show us how to love our enemies, right? Do good, bless them, pray for them. But here's the why. Why do we love our enemies? Because God loved us. He sent his son Jesus to die for us. And in so doing, we reap the benefits of God's goodness. We don't deserve God's mercy, and we can't earn his grace. But look at the beauty of it all. We have both. We have his mercy and his grace. So following Christ and being his disciples means we act like Jesus. We choose to love those who do not love us. We choose to do good to others who don't treat us nicely all the time. We choose to pray for them because we have been forgiven and God chose us and he adopted us into his beautiful family. This is why we go out and love our enemies so they can know who God is. Our job as disciples, like the original 12 apostles, is to show others the way to Christ. We are the sent ones for this day and time. If we are hearing what Jesus is calling us to, then we must choose to follow in his steps and emulate him. We will do our best to be like him and just let go of ourselves, of our selfish ways. Instead of giving tit for tat, we choose to extend mercy, loving kindness, forgiveness, and patience, just as God extended all of those things to us. And I'll close with Jesus' promising reward that's found right there in the scripture for those who choose to hear his words and obey. He says our reward will be very great. What we give generously to others will return to us, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more blessings, so much so that the blessings run over and spill out, touching all parts of our soul and our lives. That is the promise. Amen. Amen. Pray with me. Holy God, you are so, so good. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to model before us the way. Thank you. Thank you that he didn't stay dead once they crucified him, but you rose him back up with all victory in his hands. Thank you. And because of his victory, we have victory. We have been engrafted into your family, and we say thank you. Thank you for that. And it's hard, Jesus, we ask in your name. It's hard to love our enemies. It's hard to be nice to those people who constantly irritate us. It's hard. So this is why we need your sweet spirit to live inside of us, to give us the power, to give us that godly love for others. Help us, so that we can rightly reflect our relationship with you, a God who loves every single thing he created, but holds most important and true and dear to his heart, humanity. Help us, God, to be salt and light. Help us to speak life for others. Help us to bring joy to others. Help us to bear burdens and to comfort. And we thank you for this. We thank you for entrusting us with the ministry of reconciliation, of showing others to God himself. Be with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Do we have a closing song for today? We do. All right. So I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Ivan, and then I'll do the benediction.
I think you're going to find this song very appropriate to what Pastor Teresa was saying. Because we're all going to sit at his table. We're all welcome to sit there.
I'm going to sit at the welcome table. I'm going to sit at the welcome table one of these days. I'm going to sit at the welcome table. Sit at the welcome table one of these days. One of these days. I'm going to feast on milk and honey. Feast on milk and honey one of these days. I'm gonna feast on milk and honey. Feast on milk and honey one of these days. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me one of these days. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. Tell God how you treat me one of these days.
One of these days.
Welcome table one of these days. All God's children sit together. All God's children sit together one of these days. All God's children gonna sit together.
All God's children gonna sit together one of these days. One of these days.
I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table.
I'm gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. I'm gonna
sit at the welcome table one of these days.
Amen. Those who name the name of Christ, we are going to sit at the welcome table one of these days. Praise the Lord and amen. So, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ, I speak a blessing over you that this week you will encounter Jesus in a new way and you will be reminded of his journey on the way to the cross. And why is he going to the cross? For you and for me. Go in his peace, go in his grace, until we meet again. God be with you.